So Sri Aurobindo has said at length in the Life Divine that our normal concept of mobility and immobility, by which we judge whether they are contradictory or not, is itself very inadequate. If you really go into the depth of the experience of mobility and immobility, you will really find that the two must coexist at the same time. There can be no mobility without immobility behind. It is impossible for mobility to be mobile without any immobility behind. The greater the immobility at the back, the greater is the force of mobility. Even for eloquence, you can be eloquent in your speech when your mind is full and there is a complete stability of your mind which knows all the fullness of your ideas, and then you can manifest the flow of the speech goes on. Unless there is a big reservoir which is very quiet, without the fullness, there can't be the force of action. This is even an ordinary experience. It is only the strong who can remain quiet, which is a fact. The weak goes on trembling all the time. But the strong, and the by meaning the strength itself means something that is solid, unmovable, unshakable. Only the strong can be powerful in his action. So when we go into the depths of our psychology, we find that it is only when there is a tremendous quietude or complete quietude that you can really be dynamic. The Supreme Purushottama is at once static and dynamic. At the same time, it is not as if 3/4 is quiet and 1/4 is dynamic. Even that distinction cannot be made. It is not as if when the dynamism moves out, this staticity diminishes little by little. That also does not happen. The staticity remains perfect. When a strong man acts, it is not as if his strength is therefore weakened. The strength remains constant. The quietude of a yogi is not lost even for one moment when he goes on making eloquent speeches. It is not as if when he is speaking, his quietude is lost. When he is speaking, he is at the same time completely quiet in his consciousness. You might even say that the quietude increases, in fact. Not only decreases, it even in a sense increases. Rama Dhana Payo, as Mirabai says, it is such a wealth that the more you spend, the more it comes, it increases. Such is the nature of this quietude and its expenditure. It is not the ordinary way of expending, that you spend it, therefore the reservoir becomes less. The reservoir remains. Therefore, purna madaha, purna vidam. This is perfect and that is perfect. The quietude, the staticity remains perfect. There is complete immobility. The only point is that mobility depends upon immobility. And immobility does not depend upon mobility. It's a very special relationship. Mobility depends upon immobility, but immobility does not depend upon mobility, although mobility must somehow be in the immobility. Because if it is not in immobility, from where does it arise? So immobility must have within it the mobility. Now this is our starting point, our first premise. The reality is at once static and dynamic. Although dynamic, it is not necessary that it must always become manifesting dynamically. It is such a relationship that it does not oblige the immobility to manifest into mobility. It may not. That is called the real freedom. The real freedom of the divine is that he is free to remain immobile if he so wants. He is free to be mobile if he so wants. And when he decides to become mobile, what happens? There is a force of movement, tapas. That is the idea of tapas. The force by which the mobility is, as it were, projected is tapas. So you might say that there is a power in the Supreme which becomes projected by power of the force. It gets projected. The reality, if it is not merely immobile and not merely mobile, but both at the same time, how is this to be expressed? Now, in our Indian literature, this has been expressed in many ways. The one of the ways by which it is expressed is the concept of Ardhanarishvara. That half of him is Ishvara and the other one is Nari. But the same reality, at once masculine and feminine, meaning thereby that masculine is immobile and the other one is mobile. This is one way of conceiving it. All analogies are imperfect. But this is one way of understanding. So there is a concept of Ardhanarishvara. Then there is another concept which is called Purusha and Prakriti. Meaning thereby that Purusha is immobile and Prakriti is mobile. From where it has given rise to the idea that whenever you speak of Purusha, it is always immobile. That is why the question arises, is Purusha immobile alone? Now again this is an image that we should not take analogically too far. We should go back to the real fact. When we say there is something like Purusha and something like Prakriti, the question is Prakriti different from Purusha? Can Purusha not be described as Prakriti? Can Prakriti not be described as Purusha? If reality is only one, then it should be possible to say that Purusha is Prakriti, Prakriti is Purusha. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says that Purusha is both mobile and immobile. There is Kshara Purusha and there is Akshara Purusha. So this distinction that you make between Purusha and Prakriti as if the two are opposite of each other, even that is rubbed out by this description of Sri Krishna. Purusha is one. It is at once static and dynamic. Therefore you said Purusha is Kshara, Purusha is Akshara, and Purusha is Purushottama. But Purusha, he is Uttama Purusha. He does not cease to be Purusha. But he is only Uttama Purusha. He himself says, I am Uttama Purusha. He is Purusha. The word Purushottama itself means Purushaha Yah Uttama, Sa Eva Purushottama. That Purusha which is Uttama, that is Purushottama.
To the higher nature, Parabrahma. The Uttama Purusha.
Uttama Purusha. Kshara Purusha is also Paraprakriti. As yet, Aparaprakriti has not come into the picture at all. In the origin of all things, that we are talking at the highest level, in the very first premise. The first premise itself says there is only one reality, Ekam Sat. Now, that reality is a very curious reality, it is Adbhutam. That reality is not like an ordinary reality. So it is very well known that the description of that reality is a shocking statement. It is at once static and dynamic. There is something in that nature, very reality is such. It is not like ordinary things that if something is stable, it remains stable, it will not move. If it is moving, it is not stable. Such is not the nature of reality. It is something quite different. From all that we see, there is no analogy of it. That is why the Supreme is called Anupama. Anupama means that of which there is no upama. There is no simile of it. Reality is Anupama because there is only one reality which is like this, which is at once static and dynamic. That is why Sri Aurobindo says, reality is complex, even when it is simple. So his description is that reality is simple complex. Now this itself